Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, our church celebrates Palm Sunday, and in doing so, we read the Passion of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Now, what I want to do is I just want to highlight a few sections of this incredible story to help us grow in a greater appreciation of it. Now, if you study Mark's gospel, Mark devotes over one-third of his gospel to the passion death of Jesus Christ. Now, when you stop and think about that, one-third of his entire gospel is devoted to the last few days of Jesus' life here in this world. Now, that's powerful. Essentially, Mark is telling us that the story of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection is something we can't overlook or take for granted. We have to attend to every little detail of this story because it's significant in our own personal faith as well as our church. Now, notice how it begins. The people, as Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, the capital city, they take leafy branches and put it on the ground as Jesus rides by. They cry out, "Hosanna," which means save us. And then they say, "Blessed is he in the name of the Lord." Now, all three of those things can be found in Psalm 118. Now, it's interesting. Jesus, he makes his way into Jerusalem in chapter 10 of Mark's gospel. In chapter 12, Jesus clearly interprets Psalm 118 for all of us to understand. Now, we've heard that psalm many times. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Well, essentially, that is true. Jesus, he is now living into or living out Psalm 118. The stone rejected by the builders, well, it represents the religious establishment. They rejected Jesus Christ. Even though he was the Son of God, they outwardly rejected him and put him to death. And in Jesus' death and resurrection, now he becomes our cornerstone, the cornerstone of our faith and the cornerstone of our church. Fast forward to the few nights before Jesus' death. He's eating with friends. A woman comes in. She has this jar of oil. She breaks it and pours all the oil over Jesus' head. Now, we know that's a precursor to Jesus' death. Part of the Jewish ritual is to anoint the body with oil before burial. But take it to a deeper level. She cracks the jar and pours all of the oil over Jesus' head. She holds nothing back. Well, that's exactly what Jesus is going to do when he mounts the cross. When he mounts the cross, he will hold nothing back. He will give himself completely away in order to save us. Now, next, we fast forward to the Last Supper. Jesus, he institutes the Last Supper, and in doing so, he institutes or begins the Mass that we know today. And then he commands the apostles that we must continue to offer God right worship and right praise only through the Mass. The Mass, now Jesus teaches us, is the greatest way in which we can worship the Lord God. And then next, he institutes something else, priesthood. Remember what Jesus tells the apostles, "Whenever you do this in remembrance of me." And so now Jesus has commissioned the apostles to be priests and to offer now this Mass in right worship of God, now and always. And see, every year on Holy Thursday, we essentially read about the Last Supper and how Jesus institutes the Mass, and how the Mass now is taught by Jesus for us to give right worship to God. We also learn about service as we wash feet. But most importantly, also, we recognize the institution of priesthood, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And so Holy Thursday is the birthday of priests, or priesthood of Christ. Now, fast forward to Jesus in the garden. He's being arrested. His apostles are about to abandon him. Now, it seems like our whole focus and attention should be on Jesus. But all of a sudden, Mark takes that focus away. And now we're paying attention to this young man who's wearing a shroud. It doesn't make any sense. We don't know who this guy is. We don't know what his name is. And yet they try to arrest him, and he leaves the shroud behind and runs off naked. Now, that's very odd. In fact, very strange. Why does Mark take our attention away from Jesus and focus on this young man just for a split second, and then we go right back to Jesus again? This young man really doesn't have anything pertaining to Jesus at all. And yet Mark intentionally includes him. Why is that? Well, I think what we have to do is look at the history of Mark and when he wrote his gospel. Mark wrote his gospel right after he witnessed the martyrdom of Saints Peter and Paul, two of the greatest apostles in our church, the pillars of our church, you could say. Also, during this time in which Mark is writing his gospel is the great persecution. I'm sure Mark witnessed many baptized Christians leaving the faith, leaving it behind in order to escape persecution. And so, essentially, this young man wearing this linen shroud, he represents all baptized Christians. Now notice, they tried to seize him, and he leaves it behind and runs away. Well, essentially, he's symbolic of those people that left their faith and ran away from their faith and their church during the times of persecution. Mark is telling us a powerful message. You know, we all are Christians, baptized Christians, and through baptism, our life is now joined to Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we have to realize baptism is not some empty ritual. It's a powerful ritual. We are now joined to Jesus Christ, and therefore our faith is something we can't just take off when it's inconvenient or when it's uncomfortable for us to continue to practice. We can't just leave it behind and walk away from it. Or when it becomes more convenient for us to practice our faith, we pick it up again and put it on. No, we can't do that. As baptized Christians, we have to stand our ground, just like Jesus did, and right next to Jesus. Even though our beliefs and values as Catholics are continually to be ridiculed and criticized, for example, our values on the sanctity of life from conception to natural death, the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, you know, I could go on and on and on. People are always mocking us or taunting us. And yet, we can't just simply take off our faith, leave it behind, and then pick it up when it becomes more convenient. No, we have to be able to practice our faith during the good times as well as during the challenging times. One last thing. Fast forward to Jesus' death. After Jesus dies, the centurion says, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Well, it's so interesting. You know, that is one of the most powerful confessions of faith found throughout the entire Bible. But notice who's saying it. A centurion, a Roman soldier. He's not a Jew. What's the religious establishment doing while Jesus is dying on the cross? They're mocking him. They're even taunting him. They're criticizing him. And so, it's a powerful symbol. God came into this world to save the entire world, not just a small group of people or a certain sect. No, to save all. As Jesus says in John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that those who would believe in him might be saved." Strongly encourage you, attend the masses as well as the services during this Holy Week. It's the greatest liturgical week in our entire year as Catholics. Each day is different in of itself. Holy Thursday, we celebrate Jesus instituting the Mass, teaching us that the Mass is the best way to offer God right worship, and then celebrating the birth of priesthood. Friday, we come with a very sorrowful heart as we read Jesus' passion, death. And finally, Saturday, the Easter Vigil or Easter Sunday, we come and we rejoice because Jesus Christ has conquered the worst enemy of the world, death itself. And through his resurrection, we pray and we hope that one day we too will follow in his resurrection ourselves. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.